Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Hopefully that whole thing got on there because there's something wrong with Blog Talk Radio tonight. Okay, my guest is Joe Vrola, and the thing should be dialing.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. This is Mac.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how's it going with you?
It's going well. I'm doing well over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm there too. I'm in Ohio.
Oh. Okay.
And you're in New Jersey?
I'm in New Jersey, yes. I'm on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, where the Jersey Devil is.
Yeah, where the Jersey Devil. Well, the Jersey Devil is actually more of a South Jersey thing, but I made him come up to Monmouth County for the Buzzkill movie. I don't know where he's been ever since. Supposedly he died at the end of Buzzkill, but I'm not supposed to be giving that spoiler away.
Oh. At which Buzzkill? The first one or the second one?
The first one, yeah. The second one we're supposed to be making now, but because of the COVID situation and the amount of people that were supposed to be in the cast of Buzzkill 2, there was at least 200 people if you include the extras. I've had to postpone production on part 2, so... Part 2, I don't know if we're going to hopefully get started this year or 2021, but as of now, Buzzkill Palm Beach is being postponed officially until the COVID situation is over, or at least better, or at least we can get it to the point where it can be safe. There's just way too many people and way too many actors needed to be on set, and I wouldn't have been able to keep track of all of them. And
right.
I just didn't want to get anybody exposed. I didn't want to get myself exposed, type deal. So, it's been part 2 of Buzzkill. I am still determined to make it happen, but. You know, until it's safe to do so, it's on the back burner for now. But I've got a new project that I'm working on, a series actually that we've already started. We're almost done. Yes, we're almost done with the first episode. We're pretty much done filming the first episode. I brought in the editor from Buzzkill to put it together. But we're about 92% finished filming the series pilot, the first episode, and that's gonna be the next project. It's called New and Forever, and I'm pretty excited about it. Since I've talked to you, we've made some pretty good progress on the series. And people, there's been a lot of actors that have wanted to join the team because they've read the scripts. But it's a smaller project. There's less characters, and just because of the pandemic and all that, I need to be able to keep track of everyone on set, make it as little as possible. And as safe as possible. But yeah, I've gotten into this new series that I originally wrote as a sort of, I was going to make a web series, but it was it's written as a TV series. So it could be a web series, could be a TV series. Point is, I'm making the first episode, and the first episode I'm going to be giving out, that's going to go out for free so anybody can watch it, and then from there I'm going to be crowdfunding. We'll probably be using Indiegogo or something like that, And we're going to give out the first episode. And if people want to see, if people want the rest of the series made, they can donate towards that. And that will be the next step. I think, I really would love to make it. I would really love to make this, this new series. I'll give you a little bit of, background on it.
Okay.
Or a little bit of the story. So the story is about a newlywed couple. The guy, the husband is played by me, and the wife is played by an actress named Chapel Bunch, and she's located down in Florida. So actually, I drove down to Florida to film this first episode because that's where she lives, and that's where I have a camera crew down there from Buzzkill 2, the Buzzkill 2 cameraman. The Buzzkill Palm Beach camera guy, instead of doing that, we just started working on this down there. And so basically what happens is this couple, they get married and everything's going well. And then on the honeymoon, they decide their honeymoon takes place in the Caribbean, in the Dominican Republic. And when they're on their honeymoon on a second or third day, I'm not exactly sure, but on the third day they're there, the wife gets kidnapped and she goes missing for a couple days, and you know, the husband goes out and tries to find her, can't find her. Obviously he's in the middle of the Caribbean, they're two Americans, they, you know, she just shows up a couple days later with no recollection of what had happened, how she got back there. She just shows back up at the hotel. And so my character goes out looking for her, can't find her. She shows up, doesn't know what happened. So pretty traumatizing. But the series starts at the – so now the honeymoon is now over, and now they're back in America. They've made it back home, and she's starting to turn into some – I don't want to give – like, I'm trying to avoid spoilers because I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, obviously this sort of situation would traumatize anybody who goes missing, and regardless of whether they can remember it or not. But so she's starting to turn a little bit hostile towards her newfound husband, and it's starting to get more and more intense to the point where maybe she's not just hostile, she might be turning evil. And so they need to find out what happened to her, and what happened to her is a big mystery because she doesn't know, obviously she doesn't remember. And so that's basically the whole plot of episode one. I don't want to give it all away, but
right.
So there's just two people in a brand new situation. The whole thing was, from a production standpoint, I wanted to make something that was interesting without being too expensive, something that was able to tell a story without having to do a bunch of CGI or special effects or stunts and action scenes. So I wanted to be able to tell the story of something, and I also wanted it to be sort of something that maybe could really happen. So that's why I chose the Dominican Republic, because it's one of those, there's kidnappings is one of the things that's, it's pretty, it's something that's actually going on. It happens to people that go down there. They leave whatever resort they're supposedly staying at, and, you know, they go out into the mainland, and supposedly people have been getting kidnapped. So the main girl gets kidnapped, and then what ends up happening, and I'll give a little bit more away because I want people to be interested in it, is that the people that are responsible for taking her is one of those secret, I don't want to say devil worshiper, but for lack of a better term, like an evil secret type of society. And, whatever they ended up doing has caused some real lasting side effects. So now my character is dealing with a wife that up until, you know, a week ago was like his perfect, everything was going perfect for him. things are going really well. He married the love of his life. They had a great wedding. Everything's great. And now this person that is now his wife and he is legally obligated to take care of, she's now starting to turn into a person that he no longer recognizes. And, you know, it's just the sort of tension that can go along with a situation like that. And we try to keep it as light as possible without getting too heavy, even though that's a pretty heavy storyline. But we try to keep it as light as possible, as genuine as possible, because I think that people respond well to things they can relate to. So my character is just trying to get to the bottom of it. And if people like this first episode, I will 100% go back down to Florida. I drove down there a couple days after, actually, no, it was a couple days before my birthday, which is November 12th. So I drove down there early November down to Florida. We filmed down there. And the good thing about Florida is that, you know, it's, if you get down to South Florida, especially, it's basically like the tropics. So we were able to get a couple of scenes when they're on vacation in the Caribbean or in the Dominican Republic, because of the palm trees and all that. It's just a really great location as far as being able to shoot that sort of stuff. And so if the film gets picked up, I will gladly go back down to Florida and finish it. And that's everyone who's involved in this new series has kind of got their fingers crossed that I can get the funding to finish the rest of the series, at least to get season one, because I think it'd be pretty cool. I don't know. Have you ever seen, it's an older series, Twin Peaks, the TV show?
Oh, yeah, I love Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I'm a big Twin Peaks fan, too. So that's sort of been my... I don't want to say like my motivation, or it's just sort of been my inspiration a bit. I just love the fact that they, you know, they take this concept. It's a bit dark, you know, it starts with the murder and all that, and the murder of a teenage girl. But it goes into each character and all these subplots form and this web starts to get built. And Twin Peaks ended up only making it two seasons, and they did a reboot later in the 90s or early 2000s or whatever. But I'm mainly concentrating on the first two seasons. I would love to get you know, a nice spider web full of plot lines to go with this series. So we got a centralized theme or a centralized topic of what's happening, and then I can branch off into different side quests or you know, subplots, and that's kind of what we'll do if we're able to get funding for the rest of the series, which is what I'm hoping for.
Oh, I hope you do, because that all sounds really good. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, I wrote this this first series. I wrote it as like a one-off, like as a it's the first episode of a series, but I wrote it as like a, it could just have been like a short film instead of it being one episode of a series, it just being its own thing and just kind of being like a one-off thing that can be basically like a highlight for the actors. You know, just something new, you know, cause I've been working on Buzzkill for so long. I write these other projects so that I can, you know, keep working on my writing, because that's what I like. That's what I want to ultimately focus on, is that writing is where I'd like to be ultimately. So I wrote this because I had, I had my co-star from Buzzkill, but then she ended up moving. The girl who was originally supposed to play or was supposed to play the wife, she ended up moving to Staten Island. So I lost my female lead. So I took the female lead that was supposed to be in Buzzkill 2, and I was like, well, do you want to be the female lead in this? And she was great. Chapel. She's actually starring now in a Disney Plus series, which is pretty cool. Yeah, she got casted as in a Disney Plus series. They didn't tell me the name of it when we were on set, but I know that it's about her. The series that she's working on is about some sort of like tropical resort, and she plays the, I don't know, I want to say the token American blonde girl, but in the Disney Plus series. So she was really great. I'd love to keep going with the series for her, because her character is such a strong character. It's going to be, you want for the character to do well, the audience has to care about them. And when you're dealing with like a TV show or a movie, or especially a movie, but a TV show too, you need the audience to care about the character, and you need them to care. You need to make that happen pretty quickly. You don't really get all this time to really, you know, you need them to make a decision, and you want them to be invested in the characters. You want them to care about them. And I think that she does a really good job of, you know, the people are going to be invested in her character because she does such a good performance in the first one. And then of course I'm in it. So I think that they'll be invested in my character, just because, not that I'm such a great actor or anything, but I'm also the one telling the story at the end of the day. So it kind of, I don't know, it should be pretty cool. This is the most I've spoken about the series, because I was going to write the whole thing before we got it funded, but I didn't want to do that and then not get funded and then so have all that writing go to waste. So if we do end up funding it, I'm probably going to go episode to episode, and then I would love to take audience and viewer suggestions. I'd love to, because like there's a couple of characters that I originally I've written as good guys, but then the people that are reading is like, oh, what if this is a bad guy? What if this guy was actually working for the evil organization and that sort of thing. So I don't want to write it all and have it all, you know, set and done. I'd love to play episode by episode and have the audience tell me what they would like. And then I could weigh in on what the audience is thinking. And then hopefully they'll feel a little bit more connected to it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. A little audience participation, interactive deal. People like that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, with how quickly, and seamlessly technology bridges the gap, I mean, between social media like Twitter and Facebook and all that, with how quickly the audience can respond to an episode and get messages directly to content creators or actors or anything like that, it's I feel like this is the time that should be taking advantage of it, because believe me, when I first released Buzzkill, I mean, I got a bunch of people telling me right away what they thought of it. And I almost wish that I could have had that input before I released it, so that I could have, you know, but with a movie, it's kind of different. It's the movie takes all this time, and then you have to get it up on the platform. The platform has to accept it. It has to go live. They have to, but that's why I feel like by going episode to episode, if people have, and what I would do from a writer's perspective is I would take, you know, like a general consensus, and like if it was a one-off idea that one person had, I would take it, and if I liked it, I would take it. If not, I would just leave it. But if multiple people were coming up with like, oh, I really would like to see this happen, then I would love to, you know, make that happen, because there's so many times in a series where it doesn't go your way. And imagine if, you know, if you were able to voice what you want to have happen, and then because you voiced it and because others like you, you know, said the same thing, then imagine, you know, having that series actually go the way you want it to go. You know, it'd be something different. And I think people would respond positively to it.
Yeah, it all sounds
like one
really
of those,
interesting.
Like, you know how, I'm taking myself back a few years, but they used to have, I know Goosebumps Goosebumps books used to do it, but they have them all the time. But like the choose your own adventure book, like so, like you're reading
right.
and you have the choice to go this way or that way. And if you go this way, you go to page 86. This way, you go to page 11, and then you get to kind of choose what happens. But in this, it would be like, you know, or maybe, you know, the episode comes to an end, and maybe there's a question, and the question of the episode is, you know, what is the deal with so-and-so? Do you think that person is ultimately good, or do you think that person is ultimately bad or a double agent type deal? And based on the numbers, you know, make it go in one way or the other. Because writing wise, I'm pretty good at writing, so I can come up with things on the fly. But I would love to get the input of the audience on something like that. So hopefully, I don't know, we'll see. The landscape is changing so much that from when I first started getting into filmmaking to now, it's completely different. If I would have, you know, like with what it takes to get a film published and distributed, what I would have to have done 5-10 years ago, it's completely different than what I would have to do now. So I'm kind of just taking that like unknown and maybe taking a step back and just kind of going with the flow and seeing if we can come up with something new, because there's a lot of new stuff out there, a lot of new platforms. You know, my TikTok is actually probably my most successful social media page. And, you know, TikTok. Yeah, TikTok is Joe Varola on TikTok. If any of the listeners are interested, it's the prequel story to Buzzkill New Jersey. So the first movie, the first Buzzkill. Once we finished that, we made the prequel, like a prequel story, because we had to come up with a concept that fit the under 1 minute video. Like we had to come up with videos that were under a minute long, because that's what TikTok is. But so we had to come up with a theme that I could do multiple videos, but keep them under a minute. So we did this prequel story, and we kind of took the events leading up to Buzzkill, and it really exploded. We had the second to last video got like 7 million views, and wow. All these people were, we got almost a 500,000 likes on this one video. So trying to come up with something to, you know, to work within the platforms. With TikTok, it's coming up with something that keeps people that keeps viewers' attention, and you have to get their attention right away. Like, it's not like, like YouTube. You've got 10 seconds worth of ads before the video starts. With TikTok, it's almost like if your video doesn't capture people's attention within the first 10 seconds, 15 seconds, they're going to scroll to the next one. So it's all
right.
It's all a matter of it's like making things happen right away. So I want to somehow tie in this new series to the TikTok page, because the prequel is like when you do a prequel, you can only do a prequel for so long before you run into a time paradox. You can't keep going with a prequel because then you're going to run into the events of the movie. So,
right.
So basically I need to come up with a new thing for TikTok, because we've got all these followers, and, we want to keep them. I feel like they have a very high standard. I try not to release a video on TikTok unless it's compelling and it checks all those boxes. So that we'll have to work on that. And I think that with this new series, you know, maybe we can tie them all together, use TikTok as an advantage. And, you know, there's still Facebook and all that, but Facebook and Twitter is pretty, you know, it's not that it's not a great, my favorite platform personally is Twitter. I just love getting, I got like a Twitter addiction. It's a bit of a problem, like, 'cause I love getting the news like right when it happens. So like with Facebook, it's especially, you know, and these things change. They change like year to year because of, you know, pressures from the country, pressures from the government. But what I love about TikTok is like you can follow a certain number of people, and if you trust those people, regardless of whether you do or not, or a couple of news sources, and usually the first place they go to release the news is Twitter. So if you're on Twitter and you keep going to it, you get the news before anywhere else. Like my parents, they'll be watching the news, and you know, something will come on, and they'll be like, "Oh, did you see that?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I saw that like 3 days ago on Twitter." You know, like I just like it's so. But as far as you know, being a filmmaker on that platform, it's not necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily go with the Twitter platform. Twitter is more news, self-promotion, memes, that sort of thing. Facebook is more, you know, connecting with friends, family photos, food things, articles type deal. And so that's why I like what I do like about TikTok, because there's a lot of stuff with TikTok on TikTok that I'm just too old for, because it's a very young platform. But I do like the fact that it's video based and it's quick, and I think that, you know, I think the national attention span is not going to get any longer in the coming years. People are just going to get worse and worse, and their attention span is going to get shorter and shorter. So you're going to need to grab it. And so working with that platform or whatever platform comes after that, because there's always new ones, and maybe there will be a new one coming that I don't even know about, like even Parler, which is I don't love Parler. I like Parler because they're competition to Twitter. They're free speech focus, so they're pretty much, they allow everybody, but the problem, my problems with Parler is that it's very lo-fi, it's very bulky, it's not as seamless and effortless as Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of it is all the people that have just gotten banned from all the other platforms go to this platform, so it's a lot of those people now speaking with, you know, it's like an echo chamber. So, But if you don't have the option, if you got kicked off Twitter, or you got kicked off Facebook, or you feel like you've been censored in either one of those, I'm on Parler too, and I'm trying when it comes to Parler, because it's like more of a, and I keep telling them, because like I've been on Parler for like 4 years, maybe, I don't know how long it's been around, but like 3 years, and I've been posting at the creator, because he's on there, and I keep saying, like, you know, yes, you need to have more than political stuff. You know, people, yeah, everyone likes to talk about politics, but you need to have other stuff. You need to have art. You know, well, yeah, some people don't like to talk about it, but when that's all you have to offer, then all you're going to get is political people, and all it's going to be is politics all the time, and people are just going to get sick. Like with Twitter, it's like, yeah, there's some political stuff, but then there's going to be stuff about barbecue, and then there's going to be stuff about sports, and then there's going to be stuff about movies, and then there's going to be, like, all different types of culture. And that's what I feel like. I feel like Parler would do themselves a lot better if they would stop focusing on just getting all the people that have been – collecting all the people that have been disenfranchised by the other platforms, and trying to – and if they would just take more notes, because, I mean, Twitter's been around since, I think, the 90s. That's the oldest one. It's also the simplest one. And if they would just copy them, they might get a little bit further than where they're at now, even though I do have more followers on Parler than I do on Twitter. Not as much as Facebook, but But I'd like them to do well, because if they do well, then I have more people to talk to. You know, if the platform is doing well, then I have more people that I can reach with whatever project I'm trying to put out there.
Right.
So that's also what I love about Twitter the most. And a lot of like celebrities, when they get to be a certain size, they turn their messages off. Like you can't message them directly, but you can tweet at them directly. You can like message them. You can't message them privately, but you can. Like it's almost like a direct line between you and people that you normally never even get a chance to even get close to. The closest you'd ever get to, you know, talking to, you know, name your celebrity, Eminem, you know, Jay-Z, whoever. The closest you'd ever get to talking to that person is like the publicist for his, you know, one of his rappers that's on his label. Like you'd never get actually close to you, what you're saying, getting in front of these people. And with a platform like Twitter, you know, you can get your message right to them. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just crazy living in the future and dealing with all the good and the bad. There's been a lot of bad in 2020, but for me, there's been a lot of good. I released my first film on Amazon. That happened in 2020, and then the world shut down, but still I still completed that project that I really wanted to get done. So with 2020 being close to done, I don't want to be in that, and I feel like so many people are there like, oh, 2020 was so bad, I just want it to be over, because 2021, if you have the same mindset you had in 2020, it's not going to be any different. So I'm just trying to stay positive. I'm just glad that I'm still alive. I've made it through this far, and I got something to focus my attention on, this new series. And I've been going through it. So we filmed a good amount. I don't normally talk about something like. When Buzzkill first was a concept, I was like, oh, I got this movie, and I didn't realize it was going to take me like 2 years before I actually had the film to show people, because if I knew how long it was going to take, I wouldn't have kept telling people about it, because for 2 years, anytime I saw anybody, it was like, oh, when's that movie coming out? It was like, oh, it'll come out, it'll be out, you know, sometime, it'll be coming out next week or something, and it took 2 years before I could finally say, okay, here's the link to watch the movie. But now with this new project, we're taking it a little bit slower, but now that we've got it in the can, we've got it filmed, it's real. It just hasn't been, we just haven't edited it together, and I have hired the editor from Buzzkill to put this one together. And then after that, it's just going to be my final cut, you know, my final edit of the series. But as long as she just goes along with the script, so basically from a little inside baseball. So like when you film something and you have your script and then you have the shoot day, and then once we're done shooting, I go through every clip of footage from when we shot. And then I match it to the script to make sure that all the lines get said the right way, that there's no background noise or some sort of mistake, or, you know, like one of the issues I found in this last one is my co-star has sunglasses on, and in one of the scenes, he takes the sunglasses off his eyes and hangs them on his shirt. And when he hung them on his shirt, you could see the reflection of the cameraman in the guy's sunglasses. So you, and then I was like, oh my God. So I was like, please don't let this be the whole thing with this guy, with this whole, like the whole scene. And, but he moved just enough so that the cameraman wasn't facing. It was just enough so that like, we're going to be able to work it out. But those are the things that like, so that's usually step two, is going in looking for these continuity errors, because people will, if I can find them, then people are definitely going to notice them. And so I've been through all that. I've gone through everything that I liked, and then I've given the notes. I've written the notes for my editor, and then she'll put it together, and then we'll add some music on it to make it nice and dramatic, or, you know, whatever. I feel like one of the things that's I try to most emphasize to like a new filmmaker or somebody who's just getting into it is just remember the music. The music is what's gonna guide the viewer's feelings, you know, because the viewer is gonna feel whatever, but if there's sad music, the viewer is gonna watch it through a sad lens. If there's upbeat music or scary music, that helps the viewer in the moment experience the scene the way you want it to be seen, or experience it the way you want them to feel when the scene is happening. So that's basically where we're at. I'd say about a month away. I want to say a week away, but in reality, it's going to be at least another week before we film the final scene, and then maybe one more scene that'll take another week. But in that time, my editor will be editing. So I think in about a month from now, I'll be able to give out the first episode and people will be able to see and tell me if they want to keep doing it, if they want to keep watching. And if they do, they can donate to my Indiegogo page. And the good thing about that is, like, most of the Indiegogo page, unless you'd love to give more, I'd love to accept more. But, like, most of it is like, okay, you pay $10, and that's just you paying for your ticket ahead of time. If it was a movie, it would be like you paying for the movie ahead of time before it's made.
Right.
And then when it's made, you get a free pass or a free ticket. So with this, it's going to be like if you believe in it and want to see it, you put your money towards it, and then, you know, however many months later, then you'll get the movie and you'll get it for free. And I've seen some really like some projects that like not necessarily my cup of tea and not my style, but getting like these independent horror movies funded up to $50,000, $60,000. But the big thing is that they have a good trailer, and so that's what this first episode, in lieu of having a trailer, this first episode is going to act like a trailer for the rest of the series. So hopefully that's the path we take it, unless we're able to get it in front of Netflix and Hulu and they want to pick it up, and if that happens, then all bets are off, and then maybe I won't have to be the producer anymore and worry about all the location scouting and I can just focus on acting and writing. But I don't know if I'll get that far on this next one, but maybe eventually. But if not, you know, the crowdsourcing thing, that's kind of the way it goes, especially with COVID shutting down so many of these production studios and so many projects being delayed. You know, that's when us independents get to shine, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and what's nice about? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I wasn't gonna say. I was just saying. I think I might have run out of things to talk about. That's what I was gonna say. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, all I was gonna say was that the crowdfunding. What's nice about that, and what people like, it's not so much that. Oh, well, I want something for my money, which actually they kind of do in a small way. But it's that, oh, well, this is really cool because you get something that nobody else gets because you gave a couple of dollars to a movie. And it depends on the film. There's all kinds of different perks that people give away and different dollar amounts for different people. Some they use like these ridiculous tiers of amounts before you get something that's even halfway decent. And it's like, with those kinds of amounts, yeah, you may get it eventually from somebody, but you'd be better off having a whole bunch of smaller ones and like, say, $50. To get, if you plan on having a DVD, have $50 be the tier where you get a free, maybe even an autographed DVD to make it, you know, even more exciting. And one of the best ones that I know of, and I even suggested it to a friend of mine, and then he did use it for his campaign, and it worked really well for him. Well, there's, you know, several different ones. One of them is to offer a behind-the-scenes look at things that went on that is hosted by one of the actors. Or you could have, or you could have a one-on-one conversation with an actor. Or another one that I suggested and he used, and this one worked out really well. It's actually kind of like what they do on that one platform that I can't think of what the name of it is right now, but so many people are on it, and a lot of my friends are even on it, but where you pay them to make little videos for people. But
Patreon?
No, not Patreon. It's...
Twitch? I've never been on Twitch.
Yeah, for some reason, I can't think of the name of it right now, but a lot of my friends are on that, and it's just one of those things where most of them, they're doing it for, like, charity, and they'll have different prices. Some of them are doing it to make money for themselves, though, so those are usually cheaper. Like, they'll have, like, you know, for $10, they'll make a little video for your... whatever, and they'll say basically whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name offhand right now, but I know what you're
See,
saying.
Neither one of us
I
can think of it. But anyway, it's like that, and that actually is where that whole form stems from, is from that kind of a thing being used in those funding campaigns, where you can get a video, a personalized video, from your choice of the actor, and of course they give you the choices of which actor, because not every actor is willing to do that, but you'll have several different actors to choose from, and then they'll give you a personalized video, and you know, that's something exciting, like, oh, I'm going to get a personalized video from Joe Varola. Wow, this is exciting. And and $75, which is a relatively small amount, but it's a big amount to people like, you know, me and you. But it's a relatively small amount, and you get a really cool thing for it that really doesn't cost you that much.
Right.
So
right. It's a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah. So I'm kind of just like giving you a few ideas for your perks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I finish the post production of this first episode, I'm gonna need to get back into the fundraiser mode, and I love the ideas. There's another one. There's this movie. I don't know if they actually made it yet, but it was from some mutual friends on Facebook. I might have met them through HorrorCon. I'm not sure, but it's a movie called The Macabre, and it was just a pretty generic horror movie, and I saw them. They raised close to $60,000. So what I did was I went right onto their Indiegogo page, and I went and copied all of their perks. I was like, okay, how are you raising this? And basically, I went through it, and it was like, okay, there was one DVD box set, $20 or $15, and then you get the DVD box set, whatever it is. It's like a special set, and you get the DVD, maybe it's signed, I don't know. And then there's one assistant producer, or producer credit. And I guess for some people it's worth it to have their name on the credit, that was however many dollars, maybe it was like $100, and you get your name in the credits and this and that. And then there was one be a featured character. And for, I don't want to say, because I might be wrong, it's been a while since I saw it, but like maybe $200, maybe $500. For $500, you get to be in the movie as a featured character. And all it really took, and like they got $50,000, but they only had like maybe 30 or 40 backers, people who donated. So that's a couple, it's only a couple of people putting, you know, taking their big ticket items, and they were able to get to the $50,000. I mean, for me, someone gave me $50,000, I'd be, oh, I'd love to have $50,000 to do my next project, you know, to have it off of that. But
right.
So, you know, I'm always open for new suggestions. But as far as this one goes, I'm gonna make this first episode. I'm gonna release it on submit it to a bunch of festivals. So yes, it's technically a series, but it's also gonna be a short film, because I think now in the age of Netflix and Hulu, series and films, they kind of both fall under the blanket of motion pictures. So they kind of are the same sort of thing. So this first one is just kind of be like a short film, and I'm gonna submit them to a bunch of festivals to get the word out. But I would love to keep making it. I just think it's just got so much potential to be built into a series. Like when you first watch Twin Peaks and you watch the first episode, you know, you follow the lead detective, and there's this case, and he's pretty, you know, he's a bit quirky, but he's, you know, he seems like he's good at his job. But then you keep going, and then all of a sudden you're following these other two characters, and then you're following the girl who's married to the trucker, and he's abusive, and it's like this whole, there's like all different characters that take you in all different directions, and they I don't think in Twin Peaks they ever really all tie it all together, because I think maybe they would have required a couple more seasons to do that, but I think people like that. I think they like the just kind of branching out into all different directions, hoping that at some point it all comes together in the end. And I think that I think this new series, the New and Forever series, has the potential to at least go out into all different directions, and then hopefully at some point, you know, bring it all together for a nice conclusion if all things go well. I hopefully that's what happens.
Oh, yeah, I just thought of the name of that thing, and I can't believe that I couldn't think of it right at that moment, because it's like in a movie where you have somebody who just has a little snippet. What do you call that? A cameo. That's what it is.
Cameo.
It's cameo. That
is what it's called.
Yeah.
Right.
That's,
yes.
That's the name of it, cameo. Yeah. And if you go on there, it's like it's loaded with people, and a lot of people that are really, like, really, really famous. But they're mainly doing it for charity. And there was one that, well, usually, they all do. They have, like, a example of what they'll say for you. Like, oh, well, you know, if you have a friend that's having a birthday, I can say this and I can say that, or I can say whatever you like. And then they might want whatever their charity is. That's where the money goes. So, you know, that's nice, too. So, like, say if the cost is $50, yeah, it's a piece of change. But it's a famous person. You also got money to go to charity, and you also got a really great gift for somebody that they're never going to get again, more than likely.
Right. And video footage pretty much can last forever. It's one of those great things about new media and the advancements, is that you get a video, as long as you store it correctly, you know, you can keep it for and enjoy it every year. You keep watching it over and over again if you wanted to. It's not like a photo that deteriorates over time, or it's something that you can keep together, or you can keep forever. And I was actually today, I was at my grandma's house. She's been feeling a bit under the weather, and I was there. Yeah, she was better today, so I'm happy about that. But we were going through all her photo albums, and it's all these little pieces, all these pictures, and I was talking about the Legacy Box, the service that takes all your physical photographs and turns them into digital so that you preserve them forever. And I was telling my cousin, I was like, you know, you should really get the Legacy Box, so that that all these pictures, you know, that you can get a nice digital version of it, and you don't have to worry about them, you know, deteriorating, and the edges get curled up, and they get, you know, they fade over time. And but that's a, with new media and digital media, you know, you got something that really can last forever. I mean, that's what they say, the internet is forever now. So you got to be careful with what you say if it's something bad, but if it's something good, that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so anything else? No, I'm sorry.
I think I'm at, I don't want to get too much more into the New and Forever series, because I want whoever watches it to be watching it with as much of a fresh set of eyes, or with as little background as they can, because it's a very cliffhanger-y type series. But I was really proud of my actors. Dan Gregory is another Jersey actor. We just filmed a scene on Saturday. We filmed his scene. He plays my friend. My character's name is Mike. Chapel's character's name is Lauren. And Dan's character, his name is Matt. Matt is Mike's best friend. We had a scene on Saturday that we filmed. That went great. And Chapel Bunch, give her a look up on IMDb and on Instagram. She was really great. I really hope to keep working with this cast, because I think I got a good, talented group of actors, and I'd love to keep it going, and I'd love to make the whole thing. So New and Forever is going to be the new series, and once I have that first video out, I'm going to be giving it away for everyone to see. So I won't be charging for the first episode, and then I'll be fundraising for the rest of the series. So that's how we're gonna attempt it on this next go around. I hope people enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed producing it.
Well, very cool. And you're gonna be doing that on YouTube?
Yeah, we'll probably put it out on YouTube, just because it's just the easiest. Put it on BitChute and Vimeo or whatever. I'll probably put it on the Buzzkill website. But most likely it's just going to be a YouTube, because I'm thinking it's just easy. You just share a link, and YouTube works so well as far as bugs go. There's no, it's just seamless, and people can just click the link, watch the episode. So I'll probably put it on YouTube. I don't want to say that for sure, but most likely. It's not like I have other options at this point, but yeah, so we'll do the first episode and then take it from there. From there, I don't know. I might, it might only be available on Hulu or Netflix. I don't know. I might have to do a bit of a bidding war between the two of them to see who wants it better. I know that's more, actually, you know, no, there's series on YouTube, on Hulu too, but I know that the whole original series thing is a big, that's kind of what Netflix brings to the table. And, you know, it would be an honor to be, be a Netflix original and all that. But, you know, for the time being, I just want to get my stuff out there and get some exposure to my other actors, because I feel for them. It seems like a glamorous job, but so much of it is waiting around and being treated less than spectacularly, you know, just sitting on set for 3 hours waiting for your call time, and then they run out of time, and then you're just ended up getting cut without even your scene gets cut. So I've heard all these horror stories. So like, I feel for the actors. I want to get them, you know, I want to get their exposure. I want to get them exposure. So hopefully,
right, right.
I can do that with this new project.
Yeah, well, it all sounds exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it's cool because I like Florida is my second home. I don't know if I told you this the last time, but I lived there for 5 years after I graduated college. I moved down to Florida. I was supposed to stay there for the end of the summer, and I ended up staying for 5 years. And I've been back in Jersey almost 7 years now, but I was back in Florida for the whole month of November, and I was there filming this, and I love it down there. Florida is like my favorite place. It's just the weather, it's so spread out. Everything is, it's not like New Jersey where everything is cramped. And to travel 20 miles takes 40 minutes down there. To travel 20 miles takes, you know, only 20 minutes because it's all spread out. And but also there's, you know, there's palm trees, there's beaches, there's tons of property, there's tons of places to shoot. Whereas here it's a little bit more difficult because there's not as much open space, and there's not as much you know, getting locations up here is a lot more difficult than it is down there. Down there it was like, oh, we need a scene that looks like we're in a resort. Well, that's like the whole state looks like that. So we could basically shoot anywhere. Whereas up here, you know, it's a little bit different. So I'd love to keep going with this because I would love to spend the rest of this next winter down in Florida and not in New Jersey where it's just going to keep getting colder. So that's another part of my motivation for finishing this series, is to get out of the cold weather and back to the tropics where I feel like I belong.
Yeah. Okay, actually we're down to the last 3 minutes, so you had more to talk about than you thought.
I did. I didn't think I did, but I also know that I can ramble. It's just on the Anchor app. I haven't released any sponsored podcasts to Spotify yet, but I've restarted making my own podcast. It's just called Joe Barola. It's on the Anchor app. The way that it works is like you add this it's like a like so you talk about you do an advertisement for Anchor, and then you can post it to Spotify. I haven't been posting them to Spotify just because I've just been recording, but I have been doing my own podcast. I've been doing that lately just to kind of, because there's just been so much that's been going on every day that I wanted to keep a record of it, because 2020 was kind of rough. With all the good that I was talking about, there's also been a lot of bad. But all, yeah. So I feel like in a couple of years from now, I'm going to have blacked this all out. It's going to go into the dark part of my memory that I don't remember. So I wanted to at least get it down. So maybe I'll release the podcast for everyone to see. But as far as if anybody wanted to check in with me, Junior Varola NJ on Twitter, JRVROLANJ on Twitter. That's the closest place to follow me, or Joe Varola on Facebook. Still posting a lot about Buzzkill, and any updates to NAF will be on Facebook and Twitter. And then if you're on TikTok, that I definitely suggest is Joe Varola on TikTok. We've got at least 14, we might be up to 15 videos on TikTok, and it's pretty cool. It's a haunted apartment. It's about ghosts. It's about two people who live together, and we think our apartment is haunted, and there's ghosts and stuff, and it's a whole thing. Like the whole reason that it blew up is because people thought it was real, and it was like, all right, obviously it's not real, but I made it look real, so that's kind of how you kind of have to find your niche, and that's how we were able to do on Twitter. I mean on TikTok. So if anyone is interested, definitely check it out. And most importantly, Buzzkill New Jersey, buzzkillnewjersey.com is the website. You can click watch movie, or you can go to amazon.com and look up Buzzkill New Jersey. Please rent the movie, because I'm raising the price next year. In January 2021, we're raising the price. Right now it's only $2.99 to rent, and I made it cheap because of how tough 2020 has been, and you know, a lot of people have been struggling financially, so I made it as cheap as possible. It's basically the cheapest they let you rent them at, but I'm raising the price because I don't make any money at the $2.99 rental price, so I'm raising it to, like, I think $5.99 or $4.99. But for the next, actually, I probably won't raise it until like January 10th. I'll give it so like at least 10 days. So if you wanted to rent the movie within the next 2 weeks, you'll still be able to watch it for $3 and let me know how you feel. Any type of feedback, I'd love to hear it. If it's positive, if it's negative, you can refer to my assistant producer and let him know whatever you don't like about it. And yeah, Buzzkill New Jersey, that's the big project I'm promoting. So please watch it. That's my money. That's how I am able to fund this next project until the first episode's done.
Okay. Yeah, I hope everybody hears that because the time ran out and you never know with Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes they cut you off right at the time and sometimes they let you go for 2 minutes. So I'm going to use the assumption that they're letting us go a little bit over the time, but I do want to go ahead and close out the show so you don't get cut off. And this has been Max Musings, and my guest was Joe Brola. Thank you very much for being on the show. Stay safe. Have a good night, and I'm just going to go ahead and say goodbye.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. Bye.
Bye-bye.